you lost a survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh baby, this is why Blank lost.
Welcome to this week's edition of Why Blank Lost. I'm your host, David Bloomberg, and I'm going to keep telling myself how awesome I am. I am the man. With me, as always, is a woman who is good enough, smart enough, and doggone it, people like her. It's aww. Jessica Lewis.
It is. Hello. And that's a wonderful introduction. You are the man, David Bloomberg.
I am the man. I will just keep telling myself, as long as I am doing this podcast, I am awesome. I am the man.
Gosh darn it. People really do like me. Yeah. I think that was probably one of the best moments of the episode on Wednesday. I will not lie. I appreciate Dan giving himself those affirmations while he is playing the immunity challenge. That was amazing. Loved it.
Yes. And in case anyone ever doubted that we should be on a podcast together, we both posted the same gifts as that happened.
It was immediate. Oh, I had so much fun with the gifts that night. There was just so many fun things happening, but that was definitely. And you know what? I don't know if you caught this too. I'm sure you did. In one of the web confessionals where Alec was actually complaining that Dan wouldn't shut up in the challenge. He's like, I got Jeff over here who won't stop talking, and I got Dan who won't shut up either. And honestly, like in those types of challenges, yeah, like that kind of stuff can really get frustrating when you have someone else who's distracting you. So good for Dan, because he was trying to keep himself in his own headspace, but also potentially screwing up other people. So also good for Dan.
Yeah.
Quite entertaining.
I don't think that was his intention.
Yeah. I don't think so either. But if that was what the effect was, well, then great. I liked it.
All right. Well, as regular listeners know, each week we take all the information we can find, including what we saw on the show, the web videos, interviews, and anything else that isn't a spoiler, and pull it together to go through a set of rules that I wrote way back after the first episode and have been modifying ever since. And we're caught up on the website now, so you can find the new and updated version of those rules at www.robhasawebsite.com/survivor rules. And anything new and changed, or at least the most important points, I believe are in red text. So you can see those easily.
Extensive reading. Get ready.
It is extensive reading. You mentioned that this week, you know, you saw that web video of Alec. Unfortunately, a lot of them weren't terribly helpful, since they were all talking about the merge feast quite a bit.
And that's your favorite when they talk about food.
Oh, yeah. I just absolutely love spending my time hearing them talk about the merge feast.
I know you do. You love it. I'm actually surprised how many vegetarians are out there. Like, I didn't realize that this was a thing, but apparently there are multiple vegetarians. And so Survivor has to be very cognizant of that when they're putting together these rewards and feasts, that there are some non-meat eaters out there.
Ah, to heck with it. Give them all meat and let them figure it out.
You're so mean.
I mean, someone like John shouldn't be penalized because there are vegetarians out there.
Well, I did think it was interesting because the kebabs were just vegetable kebabs. Right, and I think it was John that was like, I've never even heard of a vegetable kebab. It might have been Dan, but one of the two guys was complaining that there was no meat as part of the kebab, which I remember looking at going, well, that's strange. Well, that's why. So they are, unfortunately, the meat eaters are suffering just a bit because the vegetarians have to be thought of as well.
That's right. That's right. There are so many vegetarians out there that sometimes podcasters even confuse them.
So. So I've heard. So you've heard. Made the edit, but then didn't make the edit.
Right, right.
Now, anyway.
One thing that surprised me perhaps the most in the web videos was just how different Elizabeth looks without her cowboy hat.
Oh my gosh, she looks great in a baseball hat too. Did you see her in her Ponderosa video?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I think she looks great no matter what, but I almost didn't recognize that it was the same person when she didn't have her hat on and when she had a baseball cap on.
Yeah, she can rock a baseball hat real good. She's got great hair, too. I was jealous. She's got really good hair.
Yeah, me too.
And, oh, since we're talking about hats, I might as well say this now because I haven't told you yet. I am actually rocking a cowboy hat for the podcast to try to, like, get myself into the mindset of Elizabeth.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if it's going to work, but I'm going to try it.
Yeah, I am not. You know, that did not occur to me.
It would have been fun. Could you imagine if you said, oh, my gosh, I'm wearing one, too? Yeah, that would be crazy. Yeah.
I did, however, add a merge buff from the season to my gift list for our family's gift exchange.
Very good.
So I'm sure that someone on my wife's side of the family who is doing this exchange, whoever has, you know, picked me, is going to look at it and go, what the heck's a buff?
They are quite pretty, I must say. The blue is very nice.
Yeah.
Blue is very nice. Unexpected.
Yeah.
They've been very regular with colors lately. So the light blue is a nice change.
Well, you know, they got to get the different colors out there so they can sell more.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true. And it's very hard. Like, I can't even find buffs for my season. Like, I've looked, not too recent, but the last time I looked, they were all, like, out of stock. So that was frustrating.
The nerve. Well, that just shows how popular your season was.
Well, there you go. That's true. But it makes giving someone a gift a little more difficult. So you're like, hey, that'd be a great idea. Oh, look, I can't get any.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I'll have to keep working on that, though.
All right. Well, I think we've talked enough about hats and buffs. So I don't really have much more in the way of preliminaries, in part because a lot of the times when we discuss preliminaries and it's actually about the game instead of hats and buffs and the like.
That's true.
You know, we talk about other players, but I feel like almost anything that we would discuss here will be covered by our podcast on Angelina. So I'd say let's head straight to the rules and figure out why Elizabeth lost.
People are going to be so confused right there, but let's do it.
Why are they going to be confused?
Because they're going to be like, Angelina, wait, what? What did I miss? We'll get there.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure they know. I don't think they're going to be confused. I think everybody knows what I'm saying there. So,
all right.
So anyway, we'll go into the first rule, which, of course, is to scheme and plot. And in our pregame podcast, I noted that Elizabeth said she loves strategy and wouldn't mind cutting ties if it would benefit her. This definitely came into play when she led the charge in flipping the vote against Jessica to save Lyrsa. So we saw from very early just how well Elizabeth understood the need to strategize. And then she worked to get Alec to turn on Natalia so that Elizabeth could stick around on the swap tribe, though admittedly Natalia herself had a bit to do with that result.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the Jessica vote was clearly Elizabeth's doing. From the moment we saw her grab Gabby when she realized Gabby wasn't feeling secure about her own allies.
Mm-hmm. I think that she was very good at recognizing the way that people were willing to respond, if that makes sense, because she knew that she saw Gabby as someone who needed to be dealt with in a different fashion. She also saw the same thing with Alec. She was very aware of how to have conversations with people. Even when she approached Christian about flipping things and wanting to vote out Jessica, the way that she approached him, it wasn't like she was telling anybody what to do. It was more of a, let's have a discussion. Let's just talk as people about what our options are. And really, I think made it feel like it was almost a group decision as opposed to her just saying, hey, let's do this.
Yeah. And, you know, there were some people in this episode who perhaps could take lessons from that. But
that
again,
is true.
We won't be discussing that for a little while.
No, and I think that that's true because it's unfortunately, I think a component a lot of people forget about is how much one comment can really affect someone's relationship with you moving forward. Now, clearly, she had some issues with Carl because of that Jessica vote, but I think that was more of a personal issue as opposed to anything that she directly did to Carl. I mean, that negatively affected Carl in his own game. So I think that's why he had a little bit of an issue with her because of it. But I think overall, her approach to the strategy of how to get people to do what was best for her game, she did really well in the beginning. I thought she had a nice approach with all of it.
Yeah. Speaking of Carl, you know, I said that she knew what to do. Not everything she tried to do succeeded. And one area was where she related to Carl, because at some points in this episode, it was clear that he wanted nothing to do with her.
Yeah.
And at other points, we saw them appearing to strategize together. And I wondered if Carl was looking past his anger or if Elizabeth was being fooled. In retrospect, it was clearly the latter. Mm-hmm. And I think one reason she was fooled was that she said the Davids had a meeting just before the swap, and they all agreed they would stay true to each other no matter what. They wanted to stay strong and reconvene with as many Davids as possible at the merge and maybe bring a few Goliath allies with. And they, even to the point that they agreed the winner had to be a David. Well, I mean, of course, there are a bunch of Davids. Of course, they're going to agree with that.
Right.
But, you know, that may have colored her vision, as she later admitted in interviews that she knew she had to convince the Goliaths to keep her around, but didn't realize she had to do the same with some of her fellow Davids.
Yeah. And Carl was so interesting in one of his web confessionals talking about Elizabeth and how he said that she's like, Elizabeth is she's trying too hard. She can't get out of her own way. And that everything she has tried has been a failure, which I disagree with wholeheartedly, because clearly she made the Jessica vote happen. In Carl's mind, that wasn't good for him, but it was great for her. So he really just, I don't think Carl really was appreciating Elizabeth for what she could bring to the game. You know, I mean, I feel like he just kind of shut her out. Like, all right, that's it. I'm done with her. Instead of looking at her going, hey, you know what? We really should play together. We really should stick together because we are the Davids and we are down in numbers. Instead, he just threw her under the bus immediately. I mean, that was, I feel like that was a really bad move for Carl.
Well, and it goes back before that, because remember a few episodes ago, I predicted that the Vuku tribe would be smart enough to realize they could save some Davids and knock out a couple Goliaths by throwing challenges.
Yes, which is exactly what Elizabeth wanted to do.
Right. She told Mike Bloom that she tried to convince Carl and Davy to do just that, and they wouldn't. And the way she told it, they didn't understand the benefit of doing it. But in retrospect, I wonder if Carl and Davy just knew they didn't want to work with her long term, so they were better off keeping some Goliaths around for the merge and hoping to go along with them.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole lot of hope, though. I mean, I feel like Elizabeth is the kind of person who is very honest and will be very open with you about how she feels. And she is someone who you want to work with because she'll be loyal. And like she said, I can't lie. She made that very clear throughout her exit press. Like she's a very forthcoming person, and she's difficulties lying. She just can't lie about stuff. And so that's someone that you want to work with because they're going to tell you exactly what they think and how they feel and what's happening. And that could have been a benefit for both Carl and Davy if they had gotten past the personal issues they might have had with her.
Right. And, you know, we heard that Carl, and we'll get into this more, but Carl put a stop to what was going on at Tribal Council potentially. And the thing is, Elizabeth wouldn't have even known to get started at Tribal Council if it hadn't been for Angelina.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, to talk about Angelina a little bit, even though I said earlier we're not going to, Rob noted on Know It Alls that one of my rules, and it's the second one, so we haven't even gotten there yet, says you should never alert the person you're voting off ahead of time for a number of reasons. And we saw one big reason why in this episode, because it gives the person you're planning to vote off the opportunity to turn things around on you.
Mm-hmm.
And as I mentioned earlier, I'm sure we'll be talking about this when we discuss why Angelina lost, which, you know, could be coming soon to a TV near you. But for now, we're talking about how Elizabeth herself handled it.
Mm-hmm.
It appeared on TV that Elizabeth waited until Tribal Council to blow up Angelina's spot, which drew a lot of criticism on social media because it didn't work, since people rarely change their votes at the spur of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'd like to thank so many people for coming to that realization, because it's something I've been preaching for literally years now.
Right.
But, you know, aside from that, because remember, I am awesome.
And, you are the man, David.
That's right. But it turns out that it wasn't even a choice Elizabeth made, but rather something she was forced into, because she explained in her interviews that Angelina told her about the vote. Then Elizabeth was immediately grabbed for a confessional, and then they went right to tribal council. So Elizabeth didn't have a chance to do anything else, and we can't blame her for that.
Yeah.
She did as good a job as she could trying to blow up the vote to save herself. And from her description, she almost succeeded in causing that rare occurrence. Now, we'll talk about why it didn't work later at around the fifth rule. You've already given some hints, not that they were exactly hidden. But, you know, credit to her for the attempt.
Yeah. And I do think that this is the one component of Survivor that is extremely frustrating as a player. And Elizabeth is not the first Survivor that we've heard talk about the timing of things. If we go back to, I think it was last season, but the first individual that was voted out that season was talking about how,
oh, right,
like
Gonzalez.
Yes. And she was like, I had to go do a confessional. And by the time I came back, like there had been one conversation I wasn't involved in because I was out having a confessional, and then I ended up getting voted out. And it is frustrating when you are out there and you have to go do a confessional because you're like, no, I want to go talk to people. Like I want to go strategize. And there's things that I need to do, but obviously that has to be done as well. So it's one of those things when you get back from tribal council, or excuse me, you get back from the immunity challenge. That's why everybody immediately scrambles, because you have no idea what time you're going to be done. Like what time they're going to grab you and say, all right, let's go. No more talking. We got to go to tribal council. So if Angelina purposefully held off talking to her until like the moment before they were about to leave, kudos for her, because it really limited anything Elizabeth could do. It really did.
Well, I mean, when you're out there, mm-hmm. do they say, okay, we're taking Angelina and then we're taking Elizabeth next? Or do they just come out and say, you come with me?
You just really have to pay attention. That's because they don't announce it. They just come over and they tap someone and then you got to go. So you really have to kind of watch who they're bringing when.
So if Angelina had been paying close enough attention, she would have known, oh, Elizabeth hasn't gone yet. I can get her just before she goes.
Yes. And that's so future survivors take note, you know, that that you if you want to try to be sneaky like that. And if that's what Angelina did, she definitely took away an opportunity for Elizabeth to really do a whole lot with that. Now, maybe Elizabeth was hoping, if she had that conversation with Gabby, that Gabby could run with it. And maybe Gabby could do something for her while she was out, you know, on this walk, as they say. But clearly Gabby was just playing it up for Elizabeth, as was Carl. So Elizabeth was really in a difficult spot.
Yeah, yeah. So let's close out this rule with one thing that Elizabeth says she should have done better, which was to make sure to reconnect with Nick at the merge. So this is something completely different than anything else. And yeah, that's true. She should have checked in with him. I mean, that's part of the first rule, is checking in with your allies. But I wonder if it would really have changed anything, because even if they had reconnected, I can't imagine Nick would have done anything to change the outcome of this vote, since the alternative was his stronger ally, Christian.
Yeah. And I do think that Nick, I hate you so much right now for picking Nick as a winner, because he's doing so good. And I mean that in the nicest way possible, David. I don't really hate you. No, but like, I mean, I didn't expect Nick to really be doing this great, considering his first episode was he really figured things out quickly. After that, after the first couple of days where he was on the chopping block, he's really kind of spun it around for himself, and he's in a very comfortable position. So it would have been horrible for him to try to flip this and take it off of Elizabeth, because in the position he's in right now, no reason for him at all to create any ripples, you know, and if this is what the group wants to do, he's better off just going along with the group. So I do think that even though she should have tried to reconnect with Nick just to check that box, I don't think it would have changed anything for her.
Yeah,
you're right. You're definitely right on that.
All right, let's move to Rule 2, which I mentioned one thing from Rule 2 already, but it covers how players need to avoid scheming and plotting too much. And I didn't really see anything to indicate this was a problem for Elizabeth, but apparently Carl did, because you already mentioned how in a web confessional, he talked about how Elizabeth gets in her own way. She wants to be in charge of everything, and each time it's been a failure. So you already talked about that. But he also said she's playing too hard and needs to just relax. And I'm not really sure what he's talking about, though, because I mean, maybe he was referring to her attempt to get him to throw immunity challenges, or, you know, going back to what you said, maybe from his point of view, she schemed too much when she flipped the vote to Jessica. I don't know. So, you know, we have Carl's view on thing. I guess Davey did tell that story about her being, quote unquote, untrustworthy to Alec and Kara. So that probably got spread around as well. I don't know. Maybe Carl was just venting about her in general, which we'll discuss more later on. I'm with you. I don't know what he was talking about.
Yeah. I mean, I really think it just comes down to personalities. She even talked about how similar but different the two of them were in one of her exit interviews. You know, they're both from Texas. They both love horses. They're both cowboys. You know, there's a lot of things that looking at them, and I did this pregame. I looked at the two of them and thought, wow, these two are going to mesh because they have so much in common. And I really feel like they've got a lot of things that they could connect over and bond and talk about. But it really boils down to the personalities. He's exceptionally laid back and she's very full throttle. Right. And so you have these two people, although they come from the same place, just their personalities are so different. And I don't think that Carl was able to get past that. I think Elizabeth could have. I think Elizabeth could have said, you know what? That's fine. If that's the way he is, this is the way I am. But Carl just couldn't. And I just think that as far as the game was concerned, he just read her off or wrote her off, I guess I should say. And that's unfair to her. And it was a bad move for him. And I've already said that. I don't think he should have given up on Elizabeth so quickly. So I do think that that was just coming from a personal place of dislike. And that's why he was saying those things about Elizabeth. It wasn't necessarily a good strategy for him. It wasn't necessarily about her game. I think it was just about Elizabeth.
Yeah, I feel in looking back that we should have called an audible and started with Rule 5. But we'll get there eventually.
Yeah, no, I think we will. The other thing, too, as far as Rule 2 is concerned, mm-hmm. she did talk about how she was thinking end game and she should have been thinking more about. She should have been thinking about the first part of the merge. Mm-hmm. And that might have been part of her issue, too, is that she wasn't playing for that part of the game. She was thinking too far ahead. And that was something else that she thought was an issue that she had when she was out there.
Okay. Well, another thing she mentioned was that she may have accidentally broken this rule by agreeing with Kara that she would vote out Alec while they were on the Swamp Tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And she only did it because, okay, yeah, someone comes to you with something, you agree with them. And so she was lying to Kara at the time, but then forgot about it. So when Alec asked her at the merge beach if she ever mentioned his name, she said no. I mean, it's a stretch, but if Kara planted the idea that she had agreed to vote him out, so she had talked to Alec and said that, then Alec might believe she was lying. But it's kind of this weird series of events, and I don't feel like we have any way of knowing if that's what actually happened.
I don't know. I mean, Alec really was the one that brought it back around to Elizabeth when he sat down with Allison, and I don't know if it was John right away, but it was. He thought that Elizabeth was, I don't remember what word he said, if it was she was sneaky or she was untrustworthy. There was something about her that he was worried about. And maybe it was in relationship to that. And we just don't know.
True. It is interesting that in the Strike Force Alliance, Alec went with the three Davids he had never met, rather than the three Davids that were on his tribe.
Right. Can I just say this? I'm going to just because we're talking about him right now. What is happening with Alec? Like this episode was so much fun to watch him and all of the gameplay he's got going on. And he went from being a person on his own little island where you and I were like, he's just kind of a floater out here with nobody, to having basically two alliances now. And he's kind of like calling the shots a little bit without really calling the shots visibly. I'm fascinated with Alec right now. I'm very fascinated.
Yeah. And, you know, he should have learned to not visibly call shots after the game, too.
I know. And that's what frustrates me, because damn it. I mean, we all kind of saw what he did pregame and thought, well, you know, he can't make it very far because,
right.
You know, why would you do that? And so I'm so confused. Like, I don't know where he ends up in all of this, but what an incredible merge episode for Alec.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Moving on to the third rule, tells players to be flexible. How do you think Elizabeth did here?
I think that she did well in trying to, what's the best way to really phrase this? I mean, she was locked into Lyrsa, and she did what she could to protect Lyrsa. But I also don't think that she's done what we were talking about Carl doing, where Carl just kind of shut her off. I don't think she did that to anybody. I think she kind of kept her options open and wanted to make connections with people. And I don't think that she was dead set on any one particular combination of alliances or people that she was going to work with. I think she did well, but I don't know if we necessarily saw that much of it, because it's not like she came into the merge with a whole lot of friends.
Right, right. And yeah, like you said, she tried to work with the people that she blindsided when she was in the swap tribe.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like those people weren't exactly as interested in being flexible themselves, which, you know, it's not really surprising. It's a lot easier to be flexible when you're the blindsider than when you were the blindsider.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact that these rules that we're working on here says that the blindsider should have put their emotions aside. But again, we'll get to that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. She was in a tough spot.
Right. Right.
Clashing personalities.
So, while not all players are flexible, this week's sponsor, Simple Contacts, certainly is when it comes to getting your contact lenses. Simple Contacts is the most convenient way to renew your contact lens prescription and reorder your brand of contacts from anywhere in minutes.
Now, I've been wearing contacts for over 15 years, and there's actually a law in the U.S. that requires a new prescription every year to buy lenses, even if your vision hasn't changed and you have perfectly healthy eyes. So normally, I would have to take time off from work to go and see an eye doctor, and I have to pay for the exam, and I have to pay extra for a contact lens fitting to make sure the same contacts that I've been wearing for years still work for me. But I was able to avoid all of that with Simple Contacts. After registering and providing information about my previous prescription, in a few minutes, I took an exam in my basement using my phone. The camera actually checked the redness in my eyes, and then I read various letter arrangements. The process was quick, and the next day my exam was reviewed and my prescription renewed. My friends have seen how easy it was and have actually ordered from Simple Contacts as well. My husband is also going to do the same, and listeners can do the same and actually save $20 on your lenses by going to simplecontacts.com/survivor20 or entering the code survivor20 at checkout.
With Simple Contacts, you can renew your prescription and reorder your contacts from anywhere in minutes. It's a one-stop shop. You register, order, and take the test all at one time. The process is designed by doctors and licensed ophthalmologists to review every test carefully to make sure your eyes look healthy and your vision hasn't changed. This isn't a replacement for your periodic full eye health exam, but it is the most convenient way to renew a prescription and reorder your contacts if your vision hasn't changed. Simple Contacts has all the brands and types of lenses you're familiar with, and Simple Contacts has been rated 5 stars over 3,000 times on the App Store.
One of those was me.
I thought it might be. Go to simplecontacts.com/survivor20 or enter the code survivor20 at checkout so you can save $20 on your lenses at Simple Contacts. Again, that's simplecontacts.com/survivor20 or enter the code survivor20 at checkout. So we move on to the fourth rule, which tells players not to let their emotions control them. And we have an interesting situation with Elizabeth, because there are strategic decisions and there are social decisions made all the time on Survivor. And I think she handled them differently.
Yeah.
On the one hand, she overcame her emotions and took some strategic actions, such as calling out Angelina at tribal council, despite her saying that it went against everything she was feeling about how she shouldn't call her out. And she said in her interviews that she's not the kind of person who's going to hold on to something because she can respect gameplay. You need to be able to move past things that happen because it's a game. Now, in a minute, well, okay, let's face it. We've already been talking about whether some of her tribe mates were able to overcome that. But before we get to that, did you see any strategic decisions she made that were impacted by her emotions?
No, I think most of her strategic decisions were strategic.
Yeah, I agree. And so, okay, so we've covered that. As I already suggested, I think some of the non-strategic choices she made were based on her emotional state.
Yes.
So it's probably just easier if we head straight to the fifth rule for those, because the fifth rule discusses how players have to pretend to be nice and play the social game. And I think it's fair to say we saw some problems here, many of which were born out of Elizabeth's emotional state.
Yeah, I think she's one of the only people that I can really recall in a web confessional talking about how she wanted to punch people in the face. In the frickin' face.
Where else are you going to punch him? I mean, if you want to punch him, you know.
But yeah, I mean, she was definitely, there were times when Elizabeth was rather emotional and really had to keep her anger in check, because that became very clear and apparent during times in her game.
Yeah. So, okay, before we get to those, I do want to mention a couple of other things. One is that in our pregame podcast, I brought up that Elizabeth said she planned to develop relationships with unlikely people and help bring cultures and ages together, which she definitely did with Lyrsa and others. Furthermore, she said in interviews that she had connections and worked hard to build relationships with everyone. So that's the positive part about her social game. Do you have anything to add to the positives before we go in the other direction?
Well, I do think that she was able to see people that she wanted to work with for the right reasons. And I think Lyrsa is the perfect example of that, because both Lyrsa and Elizabeth looked at each other and thought, opposites attract. No one's going to expect we're working together. And they both wanted to form a relationship, and they did that very successfully. And she was able to save Lyrsa, which just added to the strength of that twosome. So I do think that she was doing a nice job creating relationships with those people that she recognized were willing to create relationships with her. But unfortunately, I think she was surrounded by a lot of people that didn't want to work with her and were negatively affected by the way that she presented herself. And so unfortunately, I think she was limited in what she could do socially with a lot of the people on her tribe.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And even the ones she did have good relationships with didn't necessarily translate to strategic relationships.
Yeah.
You know, she apparently had a good relationship with Angelina. She had talked previously about how she had a good relationship with Davey, but there's one thing to being friendly and there's another to working together.
Yeah. And she even said in her exit interviews that her plan was to create those relationships and talk to people, but not necessarily about strategy. So in her own manner of approaching the game, she was limiting it to, hey, I want to get to know you, which is good. You want to do that. But you also then have to try to bring a little bit of strategy into it at the same time. There is something strategic to that because you're forging those relationships. But at the same time, if you're just limiting it to, hey, I want to get to know you, and that's it, that's going to be a problem for you down the road. And we saw that be a problem for her at the merge, because she really didn't have anybody that was a solid number with her at that point.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So time to go into, as I said, the other direction. And, you know, we've already talked about, and I said in the previous rule, that Elizabeth's problems in this area came out of her emotional state. But I do think it's only fair to note that her emotional state came out of her lack of sleep, at least mostly. Elizabeth said on Twitter after episode 6 that the bamboo bed was torture on her back, and she never got more than an hour of sleep a night. This dramatically affected her ability to think, and she became desperate and irrational, especially considering that nobody on her tribe knew about her pain or the source of her frustration, because she wasn't telling them because she didn't want to share that information. She said it wasn't fair to her tribe mates, who had been generous in their handling of her, and she was struggling to explain the totality of her plan. She failed to logically explain it or to finish the task in a timely manner. So Davy started putting the bed back together for the good of the tribe, and she was furious and had a full-on meltdown. So Elizabeth had in interviews that she knew she was irritating, and her blow-up and bamboo meltdown was actually worse in real life than what we saw on TV. But she thinks Carl was the only one who was really upset about it, which might be true, but it seems like Carl was the only one who needed to get upset about it for it to cause problems for her.
Yeah. I mean, let me tell you, the bamboo is not comfortable. And I think everyone would agree to that. You know, you do what.
Is that why we're not all sleeping on bamboo beds every day?
Let me tell you, it's the rotisserie turn. That's what you end up doing, because you'll lay on one side for maybe a half an hour. Then your hip starts to hurt. Then you have to flip onto your back, and then your back starts to hurt. And then you have to flip on your other side. So you just end up turning all night long because you are not comfortable. So to add to that, a previous injury where she had significant issues with her back before she even went out there to play the game, I can imagine that's got to be extremely frustrating and very hard. However, if it's that uncomfortable, which is exactly what I saw people deal with in my season, that it was so uncomfortable, people didn't want to deal with it. Most of the people at the merge just slept on the ground around the fire. They were like, whatever, we're not dealing with the shelter. I continued to sleep on the bamboo because I just felt like it was better for me personally, but that's a decision everybody has to make. So if you know that it's not working for you and it's affecting you that much, perhaps she should have said, you know what? I'm just going to sleep on the ground. I'm not going to deal with the bamboo. Because what we saw, if that was a little of a huge blow up, then I can only imagine how much the blow up really was negatively affecting her moving forward in the game, because wow, what we saw on TV was rather uncomfortable. And to have it be worse than that, I can only imagine that. I mean, that's problematic. That's really problematic for your game.
Yeah. And, you know, we've already talked about this, but her bamboo meltdown wasn't the only reason Carl was unhappy with her. I mentioned in our prediction last week that in a secret scene, Elizabeth was getting under Carl's skin because she let a chicken escape and he had to go catch it.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, he had to listen to her talk about the devious nature of speckled chickens.
They're so devious.
Yes, yes. So, you know, he was ready to vote her out then, which led to him telling every Goliath he could find about how she was a know-it-all and not in a good Robin Steven kind of way.
Yeah.
You know, Elizabeth said in her interview with Rob that she blames Carl for poisoning so many people against her at the merge. And yeah, I think she's right. Now, was it because he was annoyed with her behavior, or was it because he never forgave her for not voting or for voting out Jessica, as Elizabeth surmised in her interviews? I suspect it was a combination of both that he was already predisposed to be upset with her, meaning her personality clashes with him loomed even larger. I mean, you already talked about that. You kind of talked about it in maybe the opposite way, that their personalities clashed and she voted out his friend, so that made it worse. I was looking, you know, the reverse order, but in the end, I don't know that it matters. Between the two of them, they just could not get together.
Yeah. And that's honestly, like, this is a very similar way that I walked into the merge on my season with Chris. And Chris was clearly upset with me because of the Paul vote. And then he and I didn't mesh. There was, for whatever reason, we just really did not click. And
because
so
secretly you each other knew, he knew you were a prosecutor and you knew he was a defense attorney.
I know.
Neither of you fessed up to either.
I'm telling you, it had to have been that, because I have no explanation for it other than that we just subconsciously were able to see the truth in the other person. So, yeah, so we went into that merge and he immediately started telling people how horrible I was and that I was this, you know, strategic mastermind and you better watch out for her. And I was like, what is happening? But that was his answer to a problem he had with me was, I'm just going to throw her under the bus and let her go home first, you know? So I feel like that was Carl's approach was, listen, Davids are down in numbers. And if a David's got to go home, it's not going to be me. I want Elizabeth to go home. So here's my agenda. I'm going to put that out for everybody else to consider and kind of, you know, let that fester. Because I do think that Steve and Rob talked about this. The more often you mention someone's name, the more often that person's name then gets brought up as a possibility. So you just start mentioning a name and then other people will start doing the same. And I don't know if that's what kind of got the Elizabeth ball rolling, but it certainly helped.
Yeah. And I think you can see that in real life sometimes, too. Like even on the news or in politics, you'll hear a rumor that something is going to happen. Someone is going to, you know, get fired by the president or get fired by the governor or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you hear the rumor and then the rumor keeps swelling and swelling. And sometimes it just happens because enough people hear it that they think, oh, well, it must be true that, you know, this aide to the president needs to get fired. So they do.
Right.
Even though it was really nothing more than a rumor to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it works even better when you're stuck on an island and you only have so many people to talk to.
That is true. Yeah. And there's only so many people you could throw under the bus.
Right. Now, Elizabeth does also blame Carl for stopping a shift at what she saw as a live tribal council. And she said all the whispering was indeed about changing things up. But Carl put his foot down and loudly said he was done with Elizabeth and didn't even want to hear from her again. She believes that this was the final nail in her coffin. Now, we didn't see it on TV, but from the sound of it, yeah, she may be right.
Yeah.
It's hard to know what would have ended up happening without that, but maybe we'll see more of it play out in the next episode.
Yeah, that tribal council was so fascinating because it really did. I think it showed just how smart so many of these players are, too. Like, I love that Allison immediately threw Angelina under the bus for jury management. Like, immediately. I thought that was fantastic. And I just think it shows the different level that people are now coming in and playing this game at, where they, yeah, I mean, Angelina is supposed to be working with Allison, but you know what? I'm going to take this opportunity to show you all what she's doing. And it's a whole different type of gameplay. And I really thought that the tribal council was quite incredible to watch that all develop. And I thought for sure that maybe we are going to actually see a shift here. But I think it was all just a big show.
Yeah, well, exactly. Either it was a big show or it was really going to happen. And Carl switched it the other way. Either way, the problem is we don't know.
Right.
All we know is what Elizabeth thinks.
Right.
What, you know, happened. So.
Well, maybe we'll find out when someone else goes home.
Could be. All right, moving to the sixth rule. It warns players against being too much of a threat. In general, I think there's a lot of much bigger threats in the game right now. Nick said in a web confessional that there are like 7 or 8 of them.
Mm-hmm.
But most of those threats are in the majority. And the main other one that isn't is being protected by his brochachos and strike force. So now that doesn't mean Elizabeth posed no threat at all. She did something that is a sure way to put a threat target on a player's back. She came in second in the first individual immunity challenge. I mean, who would ever do something like that? Don't players know that they should never come in second in the first individual immunity challenge? I mean, that's just crazy.
It is crazy. Unless, of course, you don't come in second and you actually win. But,
well, yeah,
you know, your pinky screws it up for you. And
wait, I feel like we're not talking about Elizabeth anymore.
No, you spend an hour and 42 minutes holding your arms above the air with all of the blood leaving your arms. You can't feel anything anymore. Oh, so frustrated.
Wait, what? So what are you saying? You're not talking about Elizabeth. Who are you talking about?
Me.
Oh,
no, I'm telling you, it is. That is a horrific spot to be in because I walked into that immunity challenge with, I was the one that was going home. It had been discussed. People were talking about me like Jessica's going to get voted out. So of course I'm like, now I have to win, because that's the mindset you go into it with. So then you don't win and you become second. And then all of a sudden things shift and they change, and Will's name had been thrown out there. And so everything moved obviously and shifted, but now people look at you and go, oh, well, she's going to be really good in these immunity challenges. And so, yeah, it's a bad place to be, because like, you want to win so you have the protection, but then you finish second, people are like, oh, wait a second, that person might actually be good at these challenges. So it's a lose-lose situation. It's terrible. it's terrible.
Yeah. So in all seriousness, though, I think the biggest threat Elizabeth posed was not as some sort of challenge beast, but was just two various other plans in the game. They wanted to continue and they didn't involve her.
Yeah, I mean, and she was actually deemed a threat by Natalia early on. I mean, Natalia talked specifically about Elizabeth being a threat. And I mean, we've talked a lot about Natalia previously and how she kind of blew up her own game. But Elizabeth was part of her concerns. And then you also had Alec talk about Elizabeth and how he had concerns with Elizabeth. And again, that could be just for Alec's own game and his, you know, wanting to move his plans forward. But clearly there was something about Elizabeth that stood out. I mean, they had all of these Davids to choose from. I mean, we say all really, you know, there was three if you want to take Strike Force out of the equation. But, you know, something about her shined a light on her a little bit more than Davey or Carl. And so unfortunately, she was the one that was targeted at the merge. And so maybe there was some level of threat there that particular players might have seen in her.
Maybe. All right. The seventh rule talks about getting and playing idols and advantages. I don't really have anything to say here. Do you?
Nope.
Okay. Then we'll move on to Appendix A, which is about keeping your end goal in mind when voting. And a big part of the rule is that the tribe should, whenever possible, vote out the weak, then the strong, then the weak, then the strong. Now, normally around the merge, players should be targeting the strong. But in many of the seasons over the past few years, those votes haven't been right at the merge itself.
Mm-hmm.
They more seem to be approaching the merge and then after the merge. And this year was similar. Instead of targeting one of the many bigger threats, like Christian, as Angelina wanted, everyone, and I do mean everyone, went with the easier vote. In many ways, it's like the very first vote of the season when people are just happy if it's not them.
Yeah.
You know, there were a lot of different long-term plans in play, and Elizabeth wasn't part of any of them. So it was a lot easier to get people on board with targeting her than it was to target, for example, Christian, who is in several different alliances, at least two of which include Goliaths.
Yeah. And I do think that the point Elizabeth made too in one of her exit interviews about how it being a unanimous vote blurs the lines. And it's more of a safety thing for all of those people that might be on the out, someone like Carl or Davey that might not be involved in these multiple alliances that we see forming. If they don't vote with the majority, then they stand out and a light is right. Shined on that person right. At that point. So I do think that it was a safe vote for all of those other people to say, okay, this is what it seems like they're all doing. I'm going to do the same. So yeah, it was the easier vote.
Yeah, exactly. Now there was another reason some people wanted Elizabeth gone as well. Earlier, I noted that while Elizabeth said she's not the kind of person who's going to hold on to something that happened before because she can respect gameplay and you need to be able to move past things since it's a game. Well, now we have the question of whether some or maybe just one of her tribe mates made a decision because of not being able to do just that. Mm. We already talked about how Carl was turning the Goliaths against Elizabeth and apparently put his foot down and stopped the tribal council whispering. Was it strategy because he believed her to be untrustworthy, or was it personal, or was it both? We come back to that question again here. My guess again is that it was a combination, and we'll just have to wait to see whether or not it ends up hurting him in the long run.
I think it's going to. I really do, which is unfortunate because I like Carl.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah, but I do think that sometimes you just got to put those things aside and I don't think he was able to do that, clearly. And she got voted out. So, yeah, I think it's going to be, it's going to bite him in the butt. I really do. I think it's going to.
Well, I'll wait for my prediction to tell you what I think will happen with that.
Ooh, okay. Like, yeah.
So, all right. Before I wrap up, do you have any final thoughts about Elizabeth?
I do. I just have a few. Now, at the pregame, I really did like Elizabeth, and I still like Elizabeth, but I do think it was great that she channeled like a Forrest Gump vibe when she was providing her explanations of herself pregame. One of the things that she said was, "Mama always said to use your noodle." So I was like, I heard that and I was like, "Oh, she's like, she's coming from a very genuine place." And I think that's what we saw how Elizabeth played this game, is she came from a very genuine place. She knew the type of person she was. I think she knew what her hurdles were going to be going into this game. She is an emotional person. She tried to keep that in check. Clearly, it didn't work out as well as she wanted. She had some meltdowns. She and Carl bumped heads significantly, so much so that it hurt her game. And I think it's going to end up hurting Carl's too, as we've already discussed. But I think she went in with a plan to make friends, and she wanted to forge relationships, and she wanted to create those bonds. But I don't think she did it to the extent that she needed to, because as we've discussed, she went into the merge with really no friends. She had connections, but she had no true like ride or die. There was nobody that had Elizabeth's back. And so when Elizabeth's name got brought up, there wasn't one person who came to her rescue like she did with Lyrsa. She was part of a conversation. Someone mentions Lyrsa's name and she came to Lyrsa's. Basically, she was her savior, if you will. She's the one who saved Lyrsa because she had that relationship with Lyrsa. Unfortunately, Elizabeth didn't have that with anybody else. And so when her name was mentioned, that was it. No one was willing to put their neck out and save Elizabeth. And she did say that she misread relationships that she had created. She misread Alec. She thought she had a better relationship with Alec. She thought she had a better relationship with Christian. Thought she had a better relationship with Gabby. So I do think that for Elizabeth's game, she was doing what she thought was going to be best, but unfortunately, she just couldn't take it to that next level. She thought coming into this game that she was going to have everything you needed to win. She was close, unfortunately. Now she's just going to pick a winner. So I will miss Elizabeth throughout the game because I think she was a great character to watch. But now we get to see her really incredible final jury like deliberation questions, however they're going to handle it this year. I'm excited to see what she's going to say.
I kind of want her to come back on the jury without her cowboy hat and just watch everybody go, "Who's that?"
I know. Wouldn't that be great? It would be good.
All right. Well, you hit on a number of the points I'm going to hit on, but I said last week in our predictions that many of the players would be happy to dodge a serious decision right away at the merge. And you do that by targeting someone who really nobody trusts. I was wrong about who that person would be, but the theory still held true. Carl ensured that many of the Goliaths would not trust Elizabeth, and Alex certainly didn't help matters by leaving her out when he formed the Strikeforce Alliance, and then pushed to switch the vote back to her after Angelina had swung the Goliath pendulum towards Christian. Elizabeth played hard in the early goings, but she lost her number one ally before the merge anyway and wasn't able to replace her. Her remaining former allies were swept up into other alliances, and Elizabeth was left standing virtually alone. And it's a lot easier to target someone like that than it is to go after someone who is being protected. Sure, she had moments when she broke down emotionally, which led to behavior that pissed off some of her tribe. But in the end, I don't really think that impacted things nearly as much as the strategic situation. Though, of course, the two were intertwined, at least when it came to Carl. Elizabeth had made many friends, but not all friends are also allies on Survivor. And they all had to look out for themselves. And that is why Elizabeth lost.
Fabulous. Not for Elizabeth, though.
No, not fabulous for Elizabeth. That is true. All right, so it is time for predictions, and it's hard to know where everything is going to go in the next episode. Certainly, there's going to be hell to pay for Angelina.
Oh, yes.
And as I said on Twitter when it all went down, She survived that tribal council, but she also permanently destroyed her chance to win the game. And I didn't say damaged. I said destroyed.
Yeah,
I agree. Sitting here right now. Angelina cannot win.
Yeah, no, she can't. She's toast.
So the question is whether it happens right away or it's a few votes down the road. And as usual, the previews are not much help.
Mm-hmm.
Christian is supposedly in trouble again, but like Rob said on one of his podcasts, I'll worry about it when the previews don't mention him as a target.
Right, right.
There was talk that Gabby is abandoning the Strike Force Alliance, and I wonder if that stems from the way she took Elizabeth's side in the tribal council argument, even if she did join the unanimous vote against her. But I suspect that something happens like Christian rescues Gabby by convincing Alec and company that she really is on board. And he probably uses some sort of geometric proof to do it.
Of course.
Yeah.
In the sand.
Right, right. In the second preview for next episode, Nick is holding some sort of parchment, though its actual nature is blocked from us. So we're wondering, did he get some sort of clue or map, or is it an actual advantage? We have no idea, but I don't think it will cause Nick to be a target, so it doesn't help us, you know, in this area.
Mm-hmm.
So what that leaves us with, or at least this is what it leaves me with, is the idea that there are a lot of people right now who want to vote out of David. All the Goliaths do, and the three Davids on the Strike Force also want to, which doesn't leave very many choices. As a matter of fact, it leaves two, Carl and Davey.
Mm-hmm.
If Carl really did have so much influence over the way that vote went down, I can see everyone deciding that he should go next. I certainly hope not, because I like Carl, and I would be losing two people from my fantasy league in a row, because Elizabeth was always also on my team. But I think it's either Angelina or Carl, and I just feel like they'll keep Angelina around for another vote or two. So that unfortunately makes my prediction Carl.
Yeah. You know, and looking at it too, I mean, Angelina is the easy vote. I mean, definitely easy. Excuse me. You can always deal with her later, because clearly she has alienated herself from the Goliaths. Even though she's going to be part of their discussions moving forward, she's going to be an easy one to get rid of later. So I don't think they're going to be worried about her next week, even though it would just be funny to watch it all kind of happen that way because of what happened this past week. But I do think it's between Carl and Davey as well. And we know Davey has an idol.
Right.
Now, the only thing that would make it interesting is if they decided, well, we don't know if Davey or Carl has an idol, so let's split the votes between the two of them. And then Carl uses his nullifier, because I don't know if he knows about Davey's idol. Does anybody know? Because Elizabeth said that she knew because Lyrsa told Elizabeth, but I don't know if anyone actually knows.
I don't think so.
Because that would be quite fascinating if, like, if by some crazy chance, Carl was like, I'm going to make sure that Davey doesn't use an idol. I don't know. But that would be the only, like, potential weird thing that could kind of flip the vote. But, yeah, I do think that Carl is in a rough spot coming up because Davey's got an idol.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't Davey play it?
Right. So once again, we're picking the same, which probably means we're doomed.
I know, because we were so wrong, because Alec just, he owned the merge, as far as I'm concerned.
We weren't wrong. Our theory was right. It was just the person we picked that was wrong.
Oh, that's it. That's it. Yes. Just the person. Yes. So maybe, you know, that'll be the same thing this week coming. But I do, I mean, if you really look at the breakdown of everything, at least now we have a better idea of who's where, because we didn't think Alec had such strong relationships with anybody going into the merge, because he was kind of all over the place a little bit. You know, he had turned on the Goliaths, and so we didn't know if he would fit back in with them. Now, clearly he has been with Carl and Davey, but he didn't include them in Strike Force. So Alec is playing a very interesting game as far as who he's choosing to work with and why. I mean, he even said in a web confessional that Allison is his number one. Where did that come from?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, really? I mean, I never even saw that until a web confessional that I just saw from this week. So it's so crazy to really look at the relationships and how they're all created. But I just feel like Carl and Davey are kind of on an island onto themselves at this point. So, yeah, it really has to be one of them. But I think it's Carl, unfortunately.
Yeah. All
Sad.
Right.
I like Carl.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
And then when we're completely wrong and someone like Dan goes home with two idols in his pocket, we'll be like, what the hell happened? Yeah.
Yeah. At least it'll be fun to watch, I'm sure.
Yes.
Unless you're Dan in that case.
That's true. But Dan, he's good enough and he's smart enough.
And doggone it, people like him.
That's right.
So. And want to vote him out.
That's true. That is true.
All right. So as we wrap up, I want to remind all you contact lens wearers out there to check out Simple Contacts at simplecontacts.com/survivor20 or enter the code survivor20 at checkout so you can save $20 on your lenses. We need a hashtag. The only hashtag I could think of, sorry, Elizabeth, bamboo meltdown.
Oh, I was thinking bamboo bed. So yeah, bamboo meltdown's good. I like it.
Okay. So hashtag bamboo meltdown, and of course the hashtag for this podcast overall, which is YXLost. Make sure that everyone is getting all the Survivor commentary you can handle by subscribing to all the RHAP Survivor podcasts at robhasapodcast.com/survivor or going and signing up on your favorite podcatcher. We are also on the reality TV Rehapups feed, which you can get in the same way. In both places, you'll find all the great RHAP content, like Know It Alls, The Wiggle Room, The B&B, and much more. Also, I want to remind everyone about the RHAP Patron program. You can head over to robhasawebsite.com/patron to help support all these podcasts and take a look at the various Patreon levels to find out what kind of perks you can get. Finally, if you're buying anything on Amazon, such as holiday presents, head over to the RHAP Amazon page at www.amazon.com/shop/RHAP. And you can find specific items related to the show and RHAP, or you can just click from that page to do any other Amazon shopping. It doesn't cost you anything more and it supports RHAP. Again, that's www.amazon.com/shop/RHAP. Besides going and clicking on all those places, you can follow Jessica on Twitter at JessicaLewis89, and I'm at David Bloomberg. Make sure you follow both of us to see the whole conversation throughout the week in case we both post the same gifts again.
That is true. I did beat you, though. I was first.
No, I beat you.
No,
I beat you by a lot.
No, you didn't. I checked the time. No,
no,
I clearly beat you.
No. Yeah, clearly, there's a delay in your Wi-Fi again.
Oh, is that, oh, that was mean. That was mean. Mm.
See, this is the kind of banter you get on Twitter if you
That's
follow
right.
both of us.
You got to follow both of us.
Thanks to Scott St. Pierre, who does all the editing on the Why Blank Lost podcast. Thanks, as always, to Will from America for the theme song. And thanks to you, Jessica, because you are good enough. And doggone it, people do like you.
Ah, well, thank you, David Bloomberg. And you really are the man. So it's been fun spending this time with you, and it'll be fun again next week when we get to do it again and hopefully talk about why we're both right.
That's, well, hopefully not, because we kind of both don't.
I know, I know. I don't want Carl to go home, but
so
we'll
see. At this point, there's so many people on this cast that I like, though, that it's going to be hard no matter what.
Oh, I know. This is, I have to say, probably one of the best casting jobs they've done in the past couple of years. Like, this cast is really quite incredible. There's a lot of dynamic personalities, and we're getting to see a lot of everybody, which is nice.
Yeah. It's probably the best casting since what, like Millennials versus Gen X?
Yeah, I think so. And you know, I don't just say that because I was on that season. I think a lot of other people have said the same. So just saying.
All right. Okay. So with that, we will talk to everyone in 1 week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why blank lost. And this is why blank lost. Oh baby, this is why blank lost.